This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. In the early 1980s, just a handful of visionaries imagined that one day Americans would tune in by the millions to watch nonstop coverage of the weather. That was long before the now familiar image of the rain-battered, wind-blown weather reporter that has become the industry standard.
Just the power of the hurricane! Extremely strong!
Oh, indeed. Dramatic stuff. We know that now. But 30 years ago, when the Weather Channel was founded, the idea of a network devoted to weather seemed like a joke. If people would spend hours watching weather forecasts, why not hook viewers on the time of day? Yeah, well, the Time Channel never made it to cable, but the Weather Channel did, thanks largely to the efforts of Virginia media mogul Frank Batten. Author Connie Sage chronicles just how right Batten was in her new book, Frank Batten, The Untold Story of the Founder of the Weather Channel. Connie Sage joins us now. Welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. It's great to be here.
Frank Batten ran an enormously successful media empire that at the time included the Weather Channel. Why don't more people know who he is?
Well, he was a very self-effacing, low-key man who believed in staying out of the limelight. He was a media pioneer, an entrepreneur, and a philanthropist who died 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago.
He came from a newspaper family. What was his childhood like?
His father died when he was a year old. He was born in Norfolk, Virginia. And his uncle, who owned a series of newspapers, either bought or merged a series of newspapers in Norfolk, raised him. So here was this rather rich little boy who was a bit of a hellion. This is not a rags-to-riches story by any stretch of the imagination. But
it's a riches-to-more-riches story, which is nice sometimes.
But he's the one who created those riches. Yeah. He could have been, as one of his uncle's friends said, a spendthrift playboy. And instead, he grew over a period of many years, almost a half a century in the business, two separate billion-dollar companies, including the Weather Channel. And what many people don't realize is that Weather Channel almost folded the first year. He had said, okay, we can't keep on losing money here, so we're going to shut it down. And through a series of events, the Weather Channel not only was kept on the air, but it succeeded, and next year will be the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I want to, because you mentioned this kind of wastrel youth, the fact that he could have gone the other way, and there was a kind of turning point for him, wasn't there?
Their turning point was when he went to Culver Military Academy in Culver, Indiana. His uncle didn't send him there, even though he had already been kicked out of a couple of schools in Norfolk. He was hardly a leader back in those days. But he saw the movie The Spirit of Culver and decided that, gee, wouldn't it be great to wear a uniform like that? So he got his uncle to send him to Culver, and that's where, after a series of more problems, eventually a sports coach took him under his wing, and he developed the leadership skills that got him moving in the right direction.
Part of that direction sent him to the Harvard Business School. Then he goes back home to Norfolk, starts running his uncle's newspapers. What was the state of the family's media business at the time he took it over?
When he took it over, his uncle had several newspapers. He was only 27 when he became the publisher of the Virginian Pilot and the Ledger Dispatch newspapers, and also in Portsmouth, Virginia. And he grew it from there. His first acquisition was actually the News and Record in Greensboro. He bought that from the Jeffress family.
And you had those two newspapers in the Tidewater area, the Virginian Pilot, as you said, and the Ledger. And those two papers, this is in the 1950s, so the question of desegregation and, of course, massive resistance, which had its ground zero in Virginia, was hotly debated. The two papers had very different editorial points of view on that.
They did. And again, he was only 27 years old when he took over. And that was in 1954 when Brown versus the Board of Education prompted the greatest social change to the South since Reconstruction. And his newspaper's policy was unique in Southern journalism because it had two contradictory ways two policies. His uncle had believed in letting the readers make up their own minds. So that meant that there was no hands-on control from the owner over which way the editorial policy went. So the Virginian Pilot was the only newspaper in Virginia that came out in favor of the court-ordered desegregation, while the Ledger took just the opposite stance. But Batten continued the policy, and he initially believed that having these two editorial views was providing readers with a balanced viewpoint, and it was a stance he later regretted.
At some point, did he intervene?
He did. The schools closed. Those were back in the days of Senator Harry Byrd, who stood on his applesauce cans in Winchester and vowed never to let the schools be integrated. And Frank Batten knew that it was wrong, but he also knew that 80% of Norfolk citizens favored having segregated schools. So Frank Batten went around, and by this time there were 10,000 students in the Norfolk schools who were locked out of the schools for more than 100 days. And this was in 1958, 1959. And Frank Batten collected the signatures of 100 leading businessmen in Norfolk, along with Pretlow Darden from the Chamber of Commerce. And they ran a full-page ad with all these names saying, "Open our schools now," which they did.
So he's got the media empire. This is going, it begins back in the 1950s for him. And then 1981, this idea of creating a cable channel devoted to weather comes along. How did he get involved in that in the first place?
He heard about it through Bon Stanley, who worked for the company in new business development. And the idea for a weather channel was not Frank Batten's. It was John Coleman. And John Coleman was a weather forecaster for Good Morning America out of Chicago. And John Coleman had gone around to sundry different places, media companies, Dow Jones networks, and everybody laughed at him. I mean, as even after Frank Batten started the Weather Channel, people would say, "Well, this is like watching paint dry. It's such a boring network." But Frank Batten saw it as an opportunity to save lives. He had been rescued himself as a boy during the hurricane of 1933 in Virginia Beach. So he took a chance and started it.
What were some of the obstacles? I mean, one is obviously getting financing, getting anybody to take you seriously. But he's determined to do it. And again, he's got this other impetus behind him. He would like to save lives. Talk about those first days and actually putting the thing together and how the ideas for what this thing would look like came about.
It started out with something that today's referred to as a man and a map. It was very rustic in those days. You had hand-drawn maps for the weather. There was a lot of fun going on with the early meteorologists who worked there, but it was a very difficult time because John Coleman he had a great idea to start the Weather Channel, but he was a terrible manager, and the company ran into the red quickly. Frank Batten invested more than $15 million into it. That he was losing that much. He was losing $1 million a month. And according to the agreement with Coleman, who was the chairman, that if after the first year he didn't make 87.5% of the revenue, then he could be fired. Well, Batten wasn't the type of person that would fire people because he believed strongly in ethics and values at a time when many media company owners did not. And so he said to Coleman, "Look, you stay on as the spokesperson, but let's bring in somebody with some business acumen and take over the company to get it back on its sound financial footing." Well, Coleman not only said no, but he sued. He got a restraining order. And that's when Batten said, "We can't keep on losing money like this. We're going to shut it down." But again, because of his integrity and his values, he was going to give the staff in Atlanta. By the way, the Weather Channel is located in Atlanta. People think that Ted Turner owns it. He does not. Yes. It was based in Atlanta because that was a good place for a satellite upload.
The other guy with another crazy idea for a 24-hour cable service.
That's right. In fact, Frank Batten had that idea as well. But Frank Batten, who had his own share of adversity, including starting the Weather Channel, 2 years before he did, he lost his vocal cords to cancer. And that was very difficult. He was teaching himself to speak again. So here he is having his own personal problems, even though he looked in the idea, went to New York to look at an all-news channel. He was sidelined because of the laryngectomy, and by the time he was able to do something with it, he said that Ted Turner, who was a colleague and a friend, had what he called a full head of steam with CNN.
How long was it before he actually started making money?
It was several years. Coleman said, well, give me the opportunity to buy the Weather Channel. So Frank Batten gave him 30 days, but he had to come up with millions to do it. He went to many people, including Turner, and Turner said, look, I've got enough of my own problems starting the CNN. Yeah. And so at that time, there were cable operators who were paying networks to run their programming. So one of them called Landmark and said, look, we will pay you 5 cents a subscriber if you keep the Weather Channel on the air. And they said, if we can get enough cable operators to do that, we will. And
they
that's what happened.
And it has since really blossomed. Landmark sold the Weather Channel 3 years ago for how much?
$3.5 billion. And the Weather Channel last year became the first news and information network to reach 100 million subscribers. And it's the second most widely distributed network after the Discovery Channel. And weather.com is the second most used app on all smartphones after Facebook.
You might have an answer for this. Which is better, local weather on the 8s or weather on the 1s? I don't know. It's hard to know. Connie, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
It's great talking with you. But Connie Sage lives in Edenton. She's the editor of Island Breeze newspaper, and her latest book is Frank Batten, The Untold Story of the Founder of the Weather Channel. On the State of Things coming up, composer Mark O'Connor turns pirates into music. The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.